Yeah. I'm here. Hey, it's Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. I'm your co-host, James Parker. How you doing? Happy Wednesday, halfway through the week. I was just doing that clever thing where you flip your Facebook Live feed so it's right side up instead of backwards. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, give me a call, 504-260-0995, 504-260-0995. Or, you know, we usually get questions on the line, but if you just have commentary or want to chime in on any of the topics I'm bringing up, same rules apply. Your home away from the show is the Winning It Life app, where you can also find the phone number on the front. Actually, it's just a button that says call. You can also use that to text the show, listen to podcasts, yada, yada, yada. I've got some cool stuff to get to today, including since Gregory's out, we get to do something that's sort of an advantage, where I take clips from previous segments with Gregory. And what I've done today is I've taken a handful of calls, and I got a bunch of short ones. Hi, everybody in Periscope. I got a bunch of short ones here about Social Security. So we're just going to hit this rapid fire, bam, 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 on the Social Security topic, because I think this is a chance for you to get, when you hear these calls back to back to back to back, kind of drives home some of the learning process here. And so when Dorothy from the North Shore called in, and how does Social Security, what are the rules if you're a widow when you get to take Social Security? How much is it? Do you still get a haircut if you take it early? Can you take it early? What happens if you take it late? All that good stuff. We heard a rumor about 401ks affecting your Social Security from a guy in Kentwood. John in Gretna was just asking the general question about Social Security planning. What's the advantage of turning it on at full retirement age versus turning it on early, and does that affect these other things? Mike in Poplarville is on Social Security disability, and he was asking about how that converts. See what I'm saying? So there's so many different angles. It's not just one topic and one set of questions here. So we're going to do that on the back half of the show. If you're not around to hear that live, come back to the podcast and check it out there. And look, that's what this show is for. Where else are you going to learn that stuff? You're a college-educated person. My demos actually over here says there's a 68% chance you're college-educated. You didn't learn any of this in college, did you? All right, but we still have some news to take care of. I know we're in the middle of one of the greatest bull markets in the history of the U.S. stock market. So I want to start with the numbers. And if you want to follow along on the number section here, Winning It Life, the app, and winningitlife.com have a copy of the charts and graphs we're going to go through. But let's find out if history was made again. Yeah, I mean it was, but it wasn't, you know, the brain-busting. We just put a little more dirt on the top of Mount Everest today. So if you're looking at the number sheet, you can see it was what we called a mixed day on the markets. And I love gangbuster, all greens, but this isn't a bad day. The Dow Jones did finish at a new all-time record closing for the history of humanity, going all the way back to the Stegosaurus, going all the way back to the primordial ooze, going all the way back to before the Earth's crust had solidified and hardened. This is the top close of the Dow Jones, going all the way back to then, when we were just a spinning ball of dust. 26,000. 252. Oh, you think I'm overselling that a little bit? Maybe a little bit. But it is. I mean, these are all statements of fact. And look, it didn't take off like a rocket today. Today was one of those my Lanta or ROLAIDS. This was one of those days where it started off and things were looking pretty good. And as we approach lunchtime, you see the markets kind of slope down, and then they dip down below where the opening or yesterday's close was. So then they're in negative territory. And right after lunch, I don't know if it took a power nap or something, but it just bounced off the bottom, started working its way back up. And before everything was said and done, it passed over zero again and had a nice little finish. It was up 0.16% today. But boy, that cereal bowl shaped graph that you have today, that's some nerve wracking stuff. It was up 41 points when it was all said and done. So S&P, not as lucky. The S&P was down 0.06%. So not a giant drop. It's not even two full points. So it is just about a frog's hair away from its all-time close going back to the cooling of the Earth's crust. 2,837.54. NASDAQ shedding a little more, but it was weighed down by some big stocks we'll go over with you in the short sheet on it. It was down 0.6%, which is it's a significant drop for one day. But still, this valuation sounds so huge, it's hard to be concerned or get worried. 7,415 on the NASDAQ still. Russell gave back a little bit off of its all-time high. It was down 0.7%. This is our small cap stocks, 1,599, and even the broadest, Wilshire 5,000, it was down about 0.1%. This is where Gregory usually does the debt instruments, but since he is not here, it's easy to find. You just scroll down on the numbers page here. 10-year treasuries, I like the sound of this, 2.65 is what I have on the old 10-year T-note. And that's good. I want to see that going up, and we can expect some new Fed hikes, and we have a new Fed chair that's about to step in. And what's today? So in about a week, and I think he starts February 2nd. What day is that? Like next Friday, I think it is. So yeah, that's something we're looking forward to, and he sounds a little more hawkish than dovish, and what that means in the financial industry jargon is he's more likely to raise rates than keep them flat or lower them. I don't know why hawk or dove even applies, but these financial reporters are pretty silly on a regular basis. Gold was on a bit of a tear. If you go look at this, this is a reason right here you need to look at the numbers page. Look at what gold's done the last 5 trading days. It's been all green, and it's been a march up from about 1320, it's now 1357. It was 1320 about 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago. And it was about 1323 to start off last week. Now it's 1357. Gold is going. And now, nothing crazy going on with gold, but there's some weak dollar issues going on. Some of that money that is flowing out of cryptocurrencies because people are tired of getting kicked around. Some of that's floating towards gold, and we had talked about that on that was yesterday's show, or was that that was Monday's show where we told you about the Gold Britannia. It's a gold coin minted in Europe, and for some reason unexplained to me is in the UK their participation in cryptocurrencies has been far higher than what we've seen over here in the States. As big as our Bitcoin mania has been, they were expecting at this rate it was going to be 1 in 3 millennials in the UK would have invested some of their money into a cryptocurrency by 2020. I don't know if they redid that study today, though, if that would still hold up. I think points taken here. Look at gold. I mean, black gold. Look at oil. This doesn't even sound right. $66.03. That's an after-hours number, so that's the last trade. But $66. This has to be the biggest close. Let me look at this chart going back to seeing on the charts on the numbers page. They're completely customizable. So I'm hitting the little minus sign here so I can go back and see where it closed. We haven't been this. Oh, we did cross that. We crossed the highs of 2015. It hasn't been $66 since the original decline that started in the middle of 2014. And then when we fell all the way down to around $40, and then it kind of bounced around, ended up down at $26, $25 for a minute there. And then it was hovering. It's been hovering for the most part between about $55 and $40 since the end of the first quarter in 2016. And it's just now finally making a breakout move. There's a lot of reasons for that. And whenever you try and read up on it, this one time I feel comfortable in saying this is about 18 things that are making this happen, and only a couple of things that are pulling downward on the price of oil. But $66. Well, I know where we are broadcasting right now, and I know there's a lot of our friends out there in the oil industry that are kind of doing like the little Dr. Evil with the pinky to the corner of their mouth. Yeah, we're back in business. That leveraged company is going to be able to pay off all its debts and live to fight another day. So good for the oil industry. Good for us. Good for Louisiana. Good for Mississippi. And good for and this isn't necessarily that great of a thing, but good for the people in Baton Rouge and Jackson who get to spend the windfall of taxes that come from that. But on to the short sheet we go. Wait, did we cover all the news here about our indices? Hang on, I'm just looking through my stat sheet here. Yeah. We'll talk about GE in a minute. We'll talk about that one in just a second. So let's go over to the FANG stocks, Facebook, Amazon, Apple, Netflix, Google. These are the big techs that are really the dolls of the ball right now. And Facebook was down 1.5%. Apple was down 1.6%. Amazon was down 0.4%. You had a break in the pattern with Netflix, which is still, it's just, it's taken off. It's lightning in a bottle. Their subscribers growth far out outpaced what was expected. In fact, they were expected to lose a lot more than they actually lost. They retained more than expected through the price jump when overseas markets appeared to be like they were getting a little damp, you know, like a little wet blanket. Somehow they've exploded out of that. They've cut deals with all kinds of governments around the rest of the world because the rest of the governments have what is on their networks controlled. Yeah, free speech, kind of taken for granted over here, right? Well, Netflix has to go through a lot more hurdles and really just flaming hoops on an Evel Knievel motorcycle to operate in China and a few of these other countries. And they're doing it. They're figuring it out. Google's parent company, Alphabet, it was down 0.5% today. Microsoft was down 0.1%. Twitter was down 1.7%. So it was ugly time in the tech world. Bright spots in the car industry. Ford, it's been a little embattled lately, but it was up. Almost 0.8% today. General Motors up 1.8%. Fiat Chrysler was up 0.25%. So there you go. The only other real big mover I see on the short sheet is our friends over at Harley with the stock ticker HOG, H-O-G. Harley Davidson was up 3.5% today. Let's give them dudes a round of applause. Good job, HOG. All right, we have a Social Security segment coming up next. I'm also going to tell you and inform you about what's going on a little bit with GE. GE is a business icon because it is the last remaining original member of the Dow stock index way back in the late 1800s, and it may not be up there much longer. The SEC might take it down. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Social Security next.
There's enough to get me through.
I'm in a Sugarland cover band. Do you know that?
I'm all right, yeah. I'm playing here in the bar tonight.
Sound just like her. I'm James Parker. You're listening to Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. How you doing? Financial situations, bring them on. 504-260-0995. We are a financial show that looks to, in an entertaining way, bring you a bunch of information that can help you make money. Who doesn't like that? But we also like dealing with financial emergencies. But I want to tell you, if you have a significant, severe financial emergency, you don't want to call the show. You want to call Gregory's office. Go to GregoryRicks.com. If you have a for real financial emergency, stop the bleeding first. Okay. If you got a letter from the IRS or you're behind and you know it's just accruing taxes and penalties and interest, just stop the bleeding first. Call his office. All right. We're about to have some fun here. I just want to get the serious stuff out the way. And including some of the serious stuff that's coming up later, the legendary American corporation GE is on its last legs, and you don't think that you're attached to a corporation, but you'd be surprised at how much this whole story makes you go, oh, that's too bad. GE, it's GE. They make everything from airplane engines to trains to it's GE. Okay, so in the absence of Gregory, which does happen from time to time, we like to go back and play some highlights that include Gregory so you have financial expertise on the show and not just a smart mouth. John and Gretna called in about some Social Security planning. This is going to be the topic of the day for these calls. I've got about four or five of them. We're going to try and whip through real quick-like, and all of them are pretty short here. And we're going to give you a good, solid body of knowledge on Social Security planning.
John from Gretna, welcome to Winning at Life.
I have a question about widowers' benefit, Social Security benefit.
Okay.
I understand ideally when you reach the full retirement age, you compare the two and you select the one which is the highest, and you go with that forward. My question is, I understand if you start drawing a widower's benefit early, say at age 62, actual benefits greatly reduced.
Correct.
Because it's drawn early, and also there's some income restrictions too. But set that aside. So it's reduced if I draw early, but will that benefit go up as time goes forward until I reach retirement age, and then the widower's benefit will be as it is supposed to be at full retirement, or does it remain at the reduced benefit going forward without any increases?
Okay, so you're talking about it starting early,
yes,
having a reduction, then
yes,
switching to your benefit.
Well, what I'm talking about is drawing the widower's benefit early, which would be a reduction because of doing it early. If I should wait until I'm full retirement age, then, you know, I can select both benefits, whichever is the highest, that's the one I would go with. But if I choose to draw early, it's at a reduced amount. Would that reduced amount increase over time until I reach retirement age?
Okay, let's see. How much time do I have here? I have a few minutes. I've got two sections here I'm going to refer to. If the spouse has not yet started receiving Social Security benefits when the spouse dies, you may apply for survivor benefits as early as age 60.
Right. Right.
Applying between ages 50 and could early as 50 if there is a disability benefit.
That doesn't apply to me.
If applies between 60 and 66, you'll receive anywhere from 71.5 to 100%. So at 60 is your biggest hit. That hit reduces. A special exception exists if caring for a child's worker under 16.
That don't apply.
Or disabled. In that case, may receive 100. But until... So if the beneficiary starts between 60 and 66 and has a long life expectancy, it may not be prudent to claim a survivor benefit immediately after the spouse's death. If you have other income, you may be able to wait until full retirement age in order to avoid the actuarial reduction. Or if you need the money, you can take the benefits on your own record and then switch to the survivor's benefit at FRA. Then you'll have more income later on. So it depends on which way you do this. If we
Good, I understand. So I can, if I want to retire at age 62, I can use my benefit, which would be greatly reduced, and save the spousal survivor benefit till age 66 or longer, and then switch over, and I'll be able to draw the full amount of the spousal and drop.
Exactly. That's why I kind of wanted to read that to you.
So I was thinking about reverse order, like draw my survivor benefit first and then switch. But if I do that, then my spousal benefit be greatly reduced, and it won't be adjusted going forward. It would stay
correct
at that amount no matter what.
Yeah, that's usually the mistake, is not looking at it both ways and then turning on the one that's going to have the reduction and affect you thereafter.
And let me review just real quick. The preferred method is, if I want to retire early, say age 62, use my Social Security benefit when I reach age 66 and some change, then switch from mine and go with the spousal survivor benefit, which would be the greater one. And that would be going forward from age 66.
Right. Let's see. A couple numbers here. If we compare the 71.5 and the full 100% benefits, assuming the 2,000 primary insurance amount and 2.8 COLA, the annual income at various ages would be much larger. That is the way to go. Now, ultimately, you want to run the calculations out both ways, but putting out the spousal gets you more money.
You would be available for a consultation at a fee if I decide to do something like that and just go over the details?
Yeah, look, we'll have a conversation. I don't know that we'll charge you anything. Listen, we'll have a conversation. You need help, you call my office, we'll get you the information, and we'll go from there.
All right, thank you very much, Gregory. I'll be sure to do that.
Okay, John, good luck on that. Thanks for the call. Look forward to hearing from you during the week. So thank you, John. Mike from Popperville, welcome to the show.
How you doing? I got a question for you. I'm on Social Security disability, but it's not Social Security and disability. It's just the disability part. When I retire, will that increase? Will it include Social Security? How does
What do you mean retire?
When I reach retirement age, will I get a retirement benefit?
What age are you now?
I'm in my late 50s.
Yeah, well, you're going to ride this horse until you're 66, and then it's switching over. But based upon your previous 35 years when you turned on disability income, that's really your age 66 number based on where you were at. So I don't see you getting much change. Because you're switching at 66, just be clear, at 66 you switch from disability income to Social Security. I wouldn't expect much change.
When I went on disability, they told me I did not have enough hours in or credits to get Social Security when I became disabled because I took off of work because of my medical issue for about a year before I filed.
Being on disability, you can't add credits to that because you can't work. You're on disability.
Well, I have been working and adding credits.
Okay, then that's going to be a positive effect for you.
Okay, but I have 66. To wait to 66?
Yeah, you're on disability.
Okay, I didn't know. That's what I know.
Because here's the problem for you. You say, okay, I don't need disability anymore. You can have it back. So you've got to go to work. But if you're doing that for the purpose of switching to Social Security, you're doing it before age 66, which means you're taking a haircut, a reduction of 8% approximately each year early that you take it.
Uh-huh.
So that's going to go against you as well.
Okay.
So your best bet is just ride this horse to 66. And if you are, and you said you are, I believe you, that you're getting credits, that can only help.
Okay. Well, the way I understood it, I need to get another 2 years of credits in to get the amount of hours I need or credits I need to collect. But it just doesn't make a lot of sense trying to read it online.
Sure doesn't. We feel you there, bud.
Never does.
You know, and I'm killing myself trying to work, you know, and it's hard with my disability, but I'm just trying to get credits in so that I can get the benefits that I can, because the little bit they kept giving me on disability, that's why I'm doing what I can to get these credits. And I was hoping that I could get an increase for 66, because it's just no money what I'm getting right now.
Well,
so I was hoping at 62 I collect instead of 66, see an increase, you know.
Yeah, I understand, but you're getting some credits, and trying to switch to the other way isn't going to work because you're having to do it early. Good luck with that. If we can be a further help to you, let us know.
Thank you very much, Mike in Poplarville.
All right, we're back live. We'll continue with Social Security issues coming up in the next segment. I want to do something fun real quick here. This is a report from the middle of America, but why didn't it happen in my backyard?
There was a crash on I-74 in Illinois, and look at all the cash that spilled out afterward. Everyone's all right here, but police say this was from a video gambling machine.
Wow.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. People are just picking it up.
I mean,
wow.
All right, hang on. You can tell this is a small market TV show, and it's like a morning show, so they have time to do commentary, but their commentary is like, ooh, wow. Yeah. Whoa, that's crazy. They're not even really saying anything. The problem is you don't realize what they're reacting to. There's a picture of an interstate that's closed off, and there's just money everywhere. Like some giant just came and made it rain for like an hour. And I mean, in a monetary fashion, make it rain. I don't mean precipitation.
That looked pretty tough as far as the crash goes. According to what we have here for you, it's that driver was taken to the hospital. Everyone that was involved should be okay. It's important to note on that.
Right.
But this is just a bunch of cash on the highway.
Yeah, that car obviously totaled and it looks scary, but good news is everyone's okay, and I think those are authorities picking up that cash.
Is it considered stealing if you're just helping clean up and
you see
take
the
a
one
bill
guy,
or whatnot?
But you see the one guy running at the top of your screen that we just saw a few times there, so who knows what happened and what was involved.
I've also seen crashes where pizza was all over the highway. What's more valuable, cash or pizza?
Good question.
Cash, or beer. I've seen beer all over the highway too.
Right. Dirty money, dirty pizza.
Okay, they're very depressing when they get off that teleprompter, aren't they? I don't know what's more valuable, beer or pizza. Well, I don't know. You tell me. How do you get pizza? What do you exchange for your pizza, lady? it's an amazing video, though, if you want to go check it out. I shared it in the Winning It Life VIP group on Facebook, so go look at it. It's just a dream come true. Why doesn't that kind of stuff happen to me, huh? 504-260-0995. I'm James Parker. This is Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome.
We are Winning It Live with Gregory Ricks. I am your co-host, James Parker. Gregory out on assignment today. He'll be back in the saddle tomorrow. Remember, whenever you hear the Pelicans, put on the stream. And you're thinking, well, Parker, I heard you say that. I know, but there's a big chunk of the people who listen to podcasts, and they're not on while the Pelicans are on right now. See, you got to think fourth dimensionally now. It's not just who's listening to you live. It's who's listening to you time shifted. And it makes you do things different, and broadcasting's evolving with it. And it's kind of fun watching this happen in front of my face. And if you would like to see the beer of the day, you're going to have to do that on either our Periscope or Facebook live feed. I'm not sharing that information on the broadcast, the Earnest broadcast, just for my video guys here. Got to save something special for them. All right, we're doing some Social Security research here. And by research, we're going back and listening to some other callers that we've had where they pepper Gregory with seemingly impossible Social Security questions that you would never know if you were at trivia night at the bar. But Gregory knows. That's why we call him.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Dorothy Covington, you're first up on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, ma'am?
Hi, I'm just calling to find out, what is the qualification, like when your husband died and Social Security said that you have to be 61 to receive it, but what is the qualification?
Actually, you can draw benefits as early as age 60 for widow's benefits. You're taking a haircut because you'll get more if you wait, especially to 62 would be the preferable age. If you're on disability, I've got a lot of numbers running in my head, but I think it's as early as age 50 for widow's benefits. And if you're taking care of the worker's child, is how Social Security defines it, the worker's child that died, which could well be yours too, you could draw benefits before.
So why are they saying I have to wait till I was 61?
Are you working?
No.
Okay, so you have no income. I can't explain why they're telling you that, but I'm going by the Social Security code. And actually, do you do computer? You're familiar with Google, right?
Yes.
Well, just type in widow's benefits. And actually, if you misspell it, it'll still take you there because I just did it while explaining that to you. And I
What'd
left
you
out
any
benefits.
Okay.
I left out the E and it still pulled me up there. And it even has Social Security widow benefits calculator.
Oh, is this at ssa.gov?
I'm just pulling up what pulls up on the web. And it has right here. I clicked on Social Security widow benefits calculator, and I spelt everything correctly. And the second bullet point is widow or widower age 60, full retirement age through 70.5% to 99% of deceased workers' basic amount. And that is from the website www. We should always know that, but I'm just going to tell you that. .ssa.gov.
Okay,
that's the website, but this is Planners, Survivors, FU5.html. Just do a Google
search. So when my husband had passed away, I had a 15-year-old girl, and when we draw the benefit on her, she said, I don't get anything. And I was past 50 at the time.
Now, how old is the daughter, the girl, the worker's girl?
She was 15.
You have custody and everything?
Sir?
You have custody?
Yes.
Something about when they turn 16 that those benefits reduce, I believe. I'd have to, once again, I always, you know, this is live financial talk radio, so I don't want to give you wrong information, and this is something I have to check into on survivor benefits to make sure of that. But I believe it changes at 16. So when you say 15, I'm not sure about the timing and why you're getting this information. It seems like everything you're being told is about 1 year off.
Okay.
Yeah. And okay. Dorothy, this show's archives is just riddled with people who got bad information from Social Security.
Oh, God. Are we getting bad information? Oh, my God.
Well, that's one reason. That's one reason to call here or my office, as we'll help arm you with the correct questions or the right questions to ask to get the information that you want. And we'll help you with the answers before you ask them. But you still got to go deal with them to get all this this turned on. At least you'll know what you're asking, what the answer. You can be like an attorney walking in that door, because you know what the rule attorneys have kind of in general. I'm not an attorney, but this is what I understand, is they don't never ask a question unless they know the answer or think they do. So I'd rather you kind of, if you're going to ask them a question, you already know the answer. So you know whether or not you're getting the right information, because they're the ones that hold the money and need to release it to you.
And they get paid the same whether they give you the right information or not, Dorothy. So,
yeah, that's so true. Okay, thank you, guys. Appreciate it. Bye-bye.
Hey, thank you for calling and listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening up on the North Shore.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
All right, we're back live now. If you have a financial situation, 504-260-0995.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
I think this is our wild-eyed tycoon in Kentwood, one of our favorite callers. James in Kentwood, you're on Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. Is this the James in Kentwood?
Yes, sir, it is.
Welcome back. What can we do for you today?
I have some employees, and I was trying to get them signed up for 401k, and a couple of them have been told, and I'm hoping I'm right and they're wrong, that if they sign up for the 401k, every dollar they make in it, they will lose a dollar off their Social Security. Please tell me that they're wrong.
They are so wrong. I don't. Where does that come from? Out the woodwork?
How many of them are on Social Security?
Are the employees on Social Security right now?
No, they're too young.
Okay. No, it's not. That law hasn't been created or passed. Could it happen one day? You know how Congress goes. But that is not even a question or a thought. And darn, if they're young, you could build a fortune by putting money away pre-tax. And what's Social Security going
to
pay you? Just a little teeny amount of money 30 years from now?
Yeah, that's what I tried to tell them. I said, even if Social Security wasn't there, if as young as you are and you put in the amount you're allowed and I match it, you will have quite a nest egg by the time you're 65. These guys are only in their early 20s.
Yeah, there is zero effect on their Social Security benefit, no matter how much they have in their 401k, and it should and will be seven figures is how they should look at it.
And they're just going to waste it on beer anyway, James.
That's what I figure, but you know, they were dead set against it, and there they are listening. So,
oh good,
I'll let me scream at them.
Okay,
all right,
good. I'm glad to hear they're listening.
Thanks for the update, there, James. Call back anytime.
All right, have a good day.
That, usually a call doesn't crack me up right away. That one really did. Like, oh, I can't participate in the 401k. It's going to take away from my Social Security someday.
Is that a new rumor? Have we never heard that
before? I have never heard that. I don't recall ever being asked that. Oh, money's going to be taken away because of my 401k.
Yeah, that's such an obscure rumor. You'd think after
now, let's
do
the twist that we do know about. If you go to work for the state, and it doesn't matter whether or not you participate in the state's retirement program, you're not participating in Social Security because they have the pension / state plan lasers, and that is taken away from your Social Security. I think really hard about going to work for the state under those terms.
Well, there's also another instance in when Social Security can be clawed back. If you turn it on early but you're still working, for every $2 you make, they claw back a buck off your Social Security. Did I get that rule right?
Yeah, if you turn it on before full retirement age. Yeah, there's a clawback because you're still working.
Trying to think how.
And you're making more than a limit. It's above $16,000 now you have to earn before they start taking it back. But they don't permanently take it from you. You get it back later. But it's just, we had a individual in the other day and talking about that six-figure income. And, well, should I turn on Social Security? Actually, we had a caller also. Remember his sources of income and everything that he has going on. He has a couple of pensions and income's lining up, and he's planning to work, what, 3 more years and he'll be 70. And he's, well, do I turn it on now or wait? Dude, you don't need that income. You're going to need it when you retire. And everything's lining up for him to retire at 70. And yeah, turn on Social Security at age 70. In his case, he's not married. He's in good health.
going to live a long time.
Yeah, I like this process because this is, you know, the telephone game or the rumor game where someone whispers something to someone and then whispers all the way down the end of the road. And then the original message is so obscured. We heard the end of the game and we're trying to work our way back. What could the original message be? What was misconstrued or misinterpreted?
It might have been, it had to be what you brought up, that, well, if you turned on Social Security before full retirement age and you're still working, some of that will be taken back if you make over the cap on income. And then the story changes. What? I retire? No, I turn. Here's at the end of the row. What? If I put money in my retirement plan, so it's going to affect my Social Security? You know, that could be once it went through 30 people. But it might have only taken just the right three people to pass that story along and get it wrong as well.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Welcome. You're listening to Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks. We're winning at life. If you have a financial situation, not quite sure what to do, give me a call, 504-260-0995. If you're interested in just general broad-based education, you're getting your feet wet in the investing world, and you like what you hear from the show and you want to learn more, you know, we have the blog specifically for that. Go to winningatlife.com, and under the blog, when you click blog, it'll bring up the last few things we posted. But in the right-hand section are categories, and that's categories that if you click them, most of them are like videos. Most of them are videos, but there's also articles that Gregory have written. We used to, before we started with the whole video streaming thing, we used to have audio clips, and so there's a whole bevy of those that are floating around. And when you go choose by category, that can save you a lot of time. You know, you can go to our YouTube channel, too, and just start browsing through. But if you have a 401k and you want to look at all of our discussions that we've had about 401ks, you can click that button. You can see, holy smokes, there's like 16 videos where you help someone with their 401k. Yeah, it'll take you hours and hours and hours to go through all the information, but there's tons of it, and that's the whole point. Sad story coming out of Wall Street as of late, as we're about ready to just kick the dirt over the last remaining geriatric stock from the original Dow Index back in, what was the date on that? Like 1876 or 1896. It was in the 1800s. It was a couple years before I was born even. But most of those companies have come and gone, merged with someone, been acquired by someone else or changed their name or just fallen out of grace a little bit. So they're not in the top 30 stocks that make up the Dow these days. And the only one left through this whole time, thick and thin, through two world wars and through Sonny and Cher and after Lassie got canceled, GE is the only one left. A resource that we use commonly when preparing for the show, Winning at Life, is MarketWatch, marketwatch.com. And they have a great little segment under their markets segment under MarketWatch. We call it the earnings bus. And they call it earnings watch, but we call it the earnings bus because if you miss earnings, your stock done gets run over like a bus. And I know I didn't conjugate properly. I was trying to be cute. You can see a couple of updates here that from a financial standpoint make you nervous. General Electric stocks tumbled toward its biggest post-earnings decline in nearly 5 years. The stock is down 43% year over year. And the SEC is not helping matters. In their last report, they charged off $6.2 billion. And that's part of a $10 billion loss. And they said, we were doing this just to build up our insurance reserves. The SEC doesn't understand where that money went, where it came from, you know, the front and the back of it. And so now they're investigating because that looks like a shady report, that the math isn't adding up here. As if they're not having enough problems. But it's becoming sort of a divided company. You know, GE's been hard to peg. Like when someone says, what does GE do? They're General Electric. They do a lot of stuff. You know, they made do everything from dishwashers to, you know, when you see a train going down the tracks, there's a decent chance it could be pulled by a GE engine. Some of those airplanes that are floating around above your head right now, some of those have GE engines. Another big thing they do that affects your life every single day is they're real big in the power generation business and power plants and making the giant turbines for the power plants, and which also means they make power turbines for windmills, and so they've had some love from the subsidy world, you know, based on, you know, oh, the earth's burning up, even though all the predictions that those people make are wrong every time they're tried. We're still throwing money at it, and GE has actually been doing pretty well in that part. But look, they do so much. This is part of the natural cycle of business. After a while, some of that stuff isn't going to be needed or as needed as it once was. Maybe it needs to be reduced or fall by the wayside completely. You know, there's a reason why Kodak doesn't make film anymore, but they do make TVs. Which one do you use to view pictures more often now? A physical picture or a television screen? They're doing about the same thing, pragmatically speaking. They're offering a service by which you can view pictures that you took with a camera. But now it just looks different. So GE is going to have to get its head screwed on straight. Latest report to investors, Chief Executive John Flannery said in a conference call, and this was early today, that there will be a GE in the future, but it will look different than it does today. And this is according to a transcript provided by FactSet. And so when a business is saying, hey, we're going to restructure and we're going to look vastly different, unless you can see where the bright new future is, chances are they're going to be smaller. GE doesn't sound like they're going to be doing what Amazon does and gobbling up their competition, right? They're not in that kind of position. But they, their core businesses, power, aviation. Oh, and another one I left out, healthcare. Some of these MRI machines and these extremely complex, not high demand machines, GE is on the forefront of that technology as well. And by not in demand, do you have an MRI machine? I don't. Do you know anyone that has? No. In fact, there's only a handful of them in each town. See what I'm saying? So aviation, healthcare, and renewable energy divisions are all reporting profits and profits that are on the increase. So you can expect them to want to hold on to that. But some of their other industrial operating activities are not doing so well. In fact, revenue and orders fell sharply at the power business in general, not the renewable energy divisions. But, you know, if people are going around the world trying to squish out coal-fired power plants and you're the one of the few people that makes the big old turbines for the coal-fired power plant, gets kind of tough. But, you know, where there's loss, there's someone else's gain. So maybe you should get more into the natural gas turbine business, or maybe someone's beating them out on that one. Total revenue in the last quarter for GE fell from $33 billion to $31 billion. And that's not looking too good. Oh, Toys R Us now put out one of their lists. You know, we're seeing sort of the retail apocalypse. It's not really that bad. The Bomb Squad has an MRI? Yeah, well, sort of. They have the little X-ray machine. You're right. You're right. Toys R Us, though, listed the stores that are closing, and I have the list. There's a couple in the broadcast area. Now, for the people who are listening to the live broadcast, and we're coming out of our home station, WRNO in New Orleans, and we're also heard on WBUV out of Biloxi on the weekday version of the show. And out of that, there's only one store we have to worry about. So in all the metro areas of the Gulf Coast and New Orleans combined, we're only losing one. Now, I'm kind of concerned because there's the Toys R Us that I go to. I've got four kids, and there's one that's right down the road from Gregory's. It may be a mile. It may be a mile from the Gregory Ricks and Associates office, the one on Veterans. It is not closing. I am saved. So who's losing their Toys R Us? It's going to be that there's only one closing in the entire state of Louisiana. I better get this right, so because if I say it wrong, there it is. It's on North Shore Boulevard in Slidell. It's Slidell, you're losing your Toys R Us. Sorry about that. Hey, I'm just glad I'm keeping mine. Hey, on the Saturday version of the show, we've been picked up by a few more affiliates. And there's a couple. If you're listening from our extended family and you happen to pick up this podcast, you're losing one in Pearl, Mississippi, which is in the greater Jackson metro area. And there's another one that's being closed in Meridian. So really three in the total broadcast area of Winning at Life, but only one concerning the where we are live right now. All right, now I went to go get a passport today for the little traveling I've done. Shamefully, I've never required the services of a passport before, but I got to go more than just out of town in a couple months. And I noticed something when I was going to get a passport. I went online, I filled out my forms, printed it out, I got my birth certificate, I already have an ID, and I went to the post office, and there's a little side passport room. I've seen the doors for it before, but I've never been in there before. This is my first time in the secret, super secret, double secret probation passport room at the post office. And there's a lady in there working at her desk. She's like, can I help you? Yeah, I need a passport. Is this your first one? Yes. Do you have a photo? No. Okay, put your name on that sheet and I'll call you when it's your turn. There's no one else in the room. So I go and I write my name on this sheet and I have to wait for her to finish typing or whatever she's doing, taking her good time, checking her phone, picking her nose, you know, cleaning dirt off the bottom of her shoe. And then she picks me. And then I go through the process, take the photo, and then we get to the part to where I can either get it through normal process, 4 to 6 weeks. I can get it expedited for another $80. That'll be 2 to 3 weeks. Or if I have urgent business required in the next 2 weeks, I can get it maybe the next day, probably 2 days, if I pay an extra pile of money on top of that. Wait a second. What happened to passport neutrality? Isn't everyone supposed to get the passport at the exact same speed for the exact same price? Isn't that sort of discriminatory against the lower socioeconomic? Shut up! You know, net neutrality, everyone's supposed to get the same speed, and it's not fair that someone can pay more and get it faster. Well, what about passport neutrality? Look, it makes sense in every other facet of life. Why wouldn't it make sense for the net neutrality? Net neutrality, get out of here. It doesn't make sense if you put it against any other thing you buy. So yeah, now I'm now an activist for passport neutrality. It's not fair that I had to pay extra to get it fast. You're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. I'm James Parker. This has been Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks is a copyright of Down South Productions for the private use of our audience. Gregory Ricks is an investment advisor representative with Global Financial Private Capital. Any unauthorized.